Have you ever wondered what makes you special and unique? What makes you different from other people? When I was a teenager, this question was always on my mind. Every young person wants to distinguish themselves from their families, stand out from the crowd, and perhaps even be a little famous. They question everything: how they were raised, the culture they were raised in, family traditions, and even the religion they grew up learning and believing. But as we grow older, we begin to settle into a pattern of life that we choose. Most of us are comfortable, content, maybe even satisfied with that life. But psychologists tell us that many people still wonder what kind of mark they can leave on the world, and whether, in the end, their lives will really have mattered. Some people, because of that, start drifting off course in the midst of life and get lost. They start wondering, what is their purpose? Why do they exist? Is there really someone bigger out there in the universe who cares about me? I dealt with my midlife crisis years ago by purchasing this vehicle, a fire engine red Mini Cooper convertible. I loved it. Other people, unfortunately, cope with their angst and anxiety in more negative or even destructive ways. When we begin to question our value, our meaning to the world, and our ultimate purpose, then we can start seeing ourselves in a negative light, and that can lead us to start doubting God's plan for our lives, or whether there really is even a plan at all. So I want to start this homily by being very clear. When God made you, He broke the mold. To be honest, there never was a mold, because to God, all of us that He created, each one of us is His unique masterpiece. Years ago, a pastor named Max Lucado wrote a heartwarming children's tale called You Are Special. It's about small wooden people called Wemmicks. Wemmicks were created by Eli, a woodworker whose workshop was on the hill overlooking the Wemmicks village where they lived. Every day, Wemmicks would do the same thing. Each of them had a box of gold stars and a box of gray dots. And all day long, they would go around sticking either gold stars or gray dots on each other. The pretty ones with smooth wood and fine paint, as well as the talented ones, would usually get gold stars. But there was one poor little Wemmick. His name was Punchinello. And Punchinello seemed to always get gray dots. He couldn't jump as high as the other Wemmicks. He couldn't lift tall sticks or say big fancy words like some of the others. So he began thinking and believing that he deserved all those gray dots. Until one day, when he met a Wemmick unlike any other. Her name was Lucia. Lucia didn't have any stars or dots on her at all. When Punchinello asked her why she didn't have any stars or dots on her, she said that it was because a while back she started visiting the woodworker, the woodmaker, Eli, every day. And pretty soon after that, those stars and dots that the other Wemmicks tried to put on her just wouldn't stick. Well, Punchinello decided he needed to go see Eli as well. So he travels up to the woodworker's home, his workshop overlooking the village. And at the end of the story, after talking with Punchinello for a while, Eli is able to help him understand how special he really is, no matter what the other Wemmicks think, because Eli made him, and that's all that mattered. It's a valuable lesson, I think, for all of us, no matter our age. Regardless of how the world evaluates us, you are cherished by God, just the way you are. And because He made you, you have special gifts. You have extraordinary talents. You have unique qualities that you may not even realize. So tonight, I want to talk with you about how to put aside or leave behind anything in your life that might try to convince you that you're not special. I want to talk with you about leaving behind everything that makes you feel like you're not special, because you are. God gave you great potential. But sometimes we have trouble realizing that potential because of certain obstacles in our life. One thing that can get in the way is our past. The pain of a divorce even many years ago, the loss of control that comes with an addiction, broken relationships, loved ones who have gone before us, a tragic loss, or just poor judgment calls made in our younger years can make us feel like we're not worthy of being part of God's plan. Like Punchinello, the emotional and spiritual scars of our past can make us feel like we're covered with gray dots. When I first heard God calling me in my later years to become a priest, I didn't think I was worthy. I don't have a big personality. I don't think I'm very charismatic. I tend to be quiet and reserved. Other priests are more, you know, out there. And to be honest, believe it or not, I prefer to work behind the scenes. Also, at that time, I had made some financial missteps. I had huge student loans from all those years of schooling. And I also had made some serious mistakes in life up to that point. So I didn't think that I was among, I thought I was among the least qualified to be called to the priesthood. But I had to leave all that behind if I was going to follow what God had planned out for me long ago. And since that time, I have come to believe over the years that before I was born, before I was even in my mother's womb, God had determined that I would be a priest for Him. I fought that plan all the way to the seminary, but it turns out that all I needed to do was trust and believe that He had given me everything that I would need. And He did. The past can hold us back sometimes. Don't let your past keep you from moving forward into that great plan that God has for your life, whatever stage of life you happen to be in. Another thing that can get in our way is our own state of mind. I talked about guilt and regret. There can be guilt and regret in the past, but also anger in the present, or fear of change, or resentment, or grudges, or just negative thinking and attitudes overall. These can hold us back. In the first reading tonight, God asked a man named Jonah to go to a foreign land, a powerful nation to the north of Israel. God wanted Jonah to try to convert the people there who lived in that land called Assyria so that they would believe in God. The problem was Jonah didn't want to go because he hated the Assyrians. He hated them because for many years they had dominated and bullied the tiny little nation of Israel to the south. God commanded Jonah to go and preach to the people of Assyria repentance and forgiveness. But Jonah didn't want to go because he didn't want them to be forgiven. In fact, he wanted God to destroy them. He'd be just fine with that. So much so, he wanted that so much that he ended up boarding a ship heading in the opposite direction. But God's plan of forgiveness would not be stopped by Jonah's negative attitude. God commanded a storm to toss that boat, and the sailors were so frightened that they tossed Jonah overboard as a sacrifice to the gods. A large fish, some say a whale, swallowed Jonah, and after he had a few days to think about his attitude, spat him up out on the shore. After that, Jonah did what God asked. I would have too. And he was successful. His preaching was successful. Even the king repented. God saw Jonah's potential to be a great prophet. He just had to get past his anger and his negative attitude and his bitterness. Sometimes that's what we need to do to move forward into God's plan. When Jesus was choosing his first disciples in the gospel reading tonight, he saw Andrew and his brother Simon fishing in the Sea of Galilee. He also found James and his brother John mending their nets, getting ready to throw their nets into the sea as well. They were also fishermen. All four men had lives and livelihoods. Simon, who was later renamed Peter, had a wife. He had a family. James and John, they were working for their father Zebedee, who had a successful and prosperous fishing business. They all had lives and livelihoods. And James and John were expected to take up their father's trade, not leave it behind. In those days, family obligations came before everything else. It would have been shocking, even scandalous, for a son to tell his father that he didn't want the family business. That didn't stop Jesus. He invited all four men to follow him. Now, what's important to understand is that other prominent rabbis in that time would go to villages and they would pick the best and the brightest students there to follow them and to learn from them for a time, but not forever. What Jesus was proposing to Simon and Andrew and James and John was a complete and permanent change in life. A totally new destiny from which they would never return. Scripture says that Peter and Andrew dropped their nets. Another translation says that they abandoned their nets. It has a sense of immediacy. They immediately dropped their nets, everything they were doing, and followed Jesus. James and John left behind both their occupation and their father. And they did it without hesitation. They didn't ask for permission to go back and say goodbye to people. They didn't ask for time to think about it. They embraced the future of God's plan in their life. They moved forward. They were ready because they had let go and left behind anything that might hold them back. And that's what we need to do. If we want to enter into the joy of God's plan for our lives, if we want that plan to unfold in our lives, we have to let go of the past. We have to let go of our negative state of mind. We have to let go of anything that might keep us from moving forward into that joy of God's plan. In Jeremiah 29:11, God says, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." God wants the best for you. Freedom from the pain of your past. Release from negative attitudes and harmful thoughts. And deliverance. Liberation from a life that may be working against, not for, God's plan. God is waiting to prosper you. To use your uncommon gifts for His purposes. And to bestow upon you a future that you might now only dare to dream about. It's so easy to grumble about our lives, isn't it? This morning I woke up with a pain in my knuckle. I said, "God, are you giving me arthritis? This isn't fair." It's easy to grumble about our kids not doing what we want them to do, or our spouses not having the best attitude, or the people at our work, or whatever it is, it's easy to grumble. But God wants to give you this great future by following his plan when we leave behind anything that holds us back. That future is glorious. Your future is bright, no matter what challenge you are facing right now. The other day, I visited a woman on her deathbed, 98 years old. Most people I visit in that state, they're not exactly having a great time. This woman, she was struggling too, but she was so excited. She couldn't wait to meet Jesus. She said, "I love Jesus. I can't wait to see him." No matter what challenge you're facing right now, God wants to make your future bright as long as you have the courage to leave behind whatever holds you back from entering into God's plan. And that plan is specifically for you because you are special. So how do you do that? How do you sort of cast aside all those things that may hold you back? I told you last week that faith is a team sport. We need each other. All of us can bring out the best. Each of us can work together to bring out the best in us. We all can help each other leave the past behind and walk into the freedom of the light of God's plan. This is what small groups have been doing since the beginning of Christianity. Before there were ever church buildings or parish halls, Christians met in private homes. They prayed together. They shared their faith. They encouraged and loved one another. They cared for each other in small numbers. For Lent, we're launching many new small groups in our parish as we embark on a great spiritual campaign. And we want you to be a part of it. We've lined up all the leaders for the small groups, and we just need you. Next week is Sign Up Sunday. And I'm going to ask you to leave a little extra time after Mass next Sunday. Don't make your dinner reservations or whatever right after Mass, because we're going to have some appetizers or some nice food for you over in the hall in an effort to convince you to consider small groups. We'll have easy ways for you to sign up. It won't be hard. We'll have people to help you to do it, and we'll make sure the whole plan falls in place. Throughout Lent, I'm going to be preaching on a book called Rebuilt Faith. It's a powerful, inspiring book about five ways to deepen and grow our faith. And I promise you this, if you join one of those small groups, your life may very well change for the better, or at least your perspective. You will grow in faith. You will deepen your love for God, and you will begin to see God's plan for your life more clearly. All we have to do is cast off reluctance and fear. You may say, "I'm not a small group kind of person," or "I'm not a joiner," or "I don't have much to offer." It's not true. Everyone in your group will see how special you are because God made you that way. And you will have something to offer because your life matters, your experience matters, your faith matters. You just have to trust and believe that this is a gift that God wants for you. God wants to prosper you by having a group of friends in faith who will help you understand his plan for your life. All we have to do is leave behind anything that convinces us that we are anything less than precious in the sight of God. You know, at the end of that story with Punchinello, he leaves Eli's workshop starting to believe that maybe, just maybe, Eli's right, that Punchinello is special. And you know what happens next? A gray dot falls to the ground. Maybe for you too.